Priority 1 message from Starfleet coming in on secured channel.
You are listening to the Trek Ranks Podcast, a member of the Tricorder Transmissions Podcast Network. This is episode 6, featuring the top 5 food moments. Yep, you heard that right. We are doing an episode of the top 5 food moments in Star Trek history, our deepest, most niche topic yet. And I am your host, Jim Morehouse, and joining me to get things rolling is Mr. Jeff Hewlett, the Sphere Builder responsible for the Tricorder Transmissions Podcast Network. Jeff.
Man, Jim, you guys are getting good at picking the really obscure topics. I think it just goes to show you that there is no shortage of possible topics for Trek Ranks. Yes.
I think we said that on our very first show, we know that there's deep cuts and there's big, broad topics. And tonight we got a deep cut courtesy of our joining guest tonight, a friend of the show, friend of the network, the connoisseur of Star Trek food references, Mr. Adam Drozin. Are you there, hello, Adam?
Hello, Tricorder Transmissions. Hello, Trek Ranks Podcast.
There he is.
Good to have you here, Adam.
Always,
good to be here, fellas. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I'm excited about tonight's show and to see what we both come up with. In terms of our Star Trek food obsession. So, Adam, before we get going here, let's talk a little bit about you and kind of your background in Trek. I'd like to introduce our guests just so people get a feel for what their kind of Trek origin story is.
You know what, too, Jim, real quick, before we do that, too, I just want to point out one thing that Adam has achieved a Tricorder Transmissions record tonight. I think he's the only guest who's appeared on every single one of our series.
Wow. Okay.
That is awesome.
What an honor. Thank you. Wow.
Nice.
We got to keep that going. Has he been on the other episodes at least twice? Because then he can get on ours twice. Another record.
Well, he's only been on one animated series.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So, but that's all the original mission. So this isn't counting hosts. So like Heather and Claire don't count because they're hosts. Yep. Adam's the only guest who's been on.
Bottom line, we know Adam's going to be on again. So.
Oh, absolutely. No question.
All right. What's your Trek origin story?
I am a late in life Trekkie. I had seen The Wrath of Khan once when I was a kid. I saw Star Trek 2009 once when that came out in theaters. And then after I graduated from film school, I pretty much watched every episode of every Star Trek in about 10 months, in late 2011, early 2012. And in for a penny, in for a pound, I've been watching and rewatching ever since. It's been a trip.
That blows my mind that you are a late comer to Trek.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like it.
And as well versed as you are in a topic tonight that I know you love.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. A lot of the moments that I picked for my Trek foods list are things that I saw and just immediately absorbed into my being. I have a very specific kind of memory, which I'll just sort of, I don't know what the word for it is, but just sort of immediately catalog and store away. to some people, relatively useless information, but when it comes to being able to reference any Trek food that you might deem too obscure or too inconsequential, let me tell you, Memory Alpha ain't got nothing on me.
None of them are too inconsequential. All right, this is going to be good. All right, so before we get rolling here, Jeff, let's power up the Argus Array so our listeners know exactly how they can message us.
Hailing frequencies are open.
All right, guys, if you're looking to catch up with us online, you can find us at thetricordertransmissions.com and trekranks.com as well. We are on Twitter at Trek Ranks and also at Tricorder Show if you're looking for the entire network. We also have a Facebook page, Facebook.com/TheTricorderTransmissions. And we'll mention this again at the end of the show, but we mentioned it here at the beginning too. Our voicemail number, if you want to leave us your picks, is 609-512-LLAP. And I am Warp Factor Jeff on Twitter. Back to you, Jim.
Is awesome. And as Jeff was going through there, let's quickly emphasize again that this show is better when we hear from you. So we love hearing your lists and we love reading them. And I know you want to send them in. I know you got opinions. So put your list together and send them in. You can get me at Twitter at Enterprise Extra and at Trek Ranks. And Adam, how about you? What's your handle?
It's pretty confusing. It's my first name and then my last name. I'm an iconoclast. What can I say? It's Adam Drosin, Drosin on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. But don't add me on Facebook because I think it is a hole. No, you can only if you want to hit me up on Facebook, hit me up on that unofficial Star Trek Las Vegas Facebook group. That's the only reason I go on anymore, honestly.
Best group, man. Best group in the universe.
Yeah, I'm not a big Facebook guy, so Twitter, get me at Twitter. All right, before we get rolling here, let's reset again on general order number one at the Trek Ranks podcast, and that is that we love Trek, and we love to rank Trek, and we do it via deep dive topics here just to get the conversation started. We're not trying to set any kind of definitive lists. We're just trying to have a fun conversation about Trek and engage topics or with other fans and in ways that maybe we haven't done before. So, and as my good friend, the Vulcan Master, likes to remind us each week, the main driver for all of our discussion here at the Trek Ranks podcast is
infinite diversity
in infinite combinations.
That's right. Our mantra here is no wrong answers. Mm-hmm. Always at the Trek Ranks. There's no definitive list, just about talking Trek with friends. So, and tonight, you know, we've got a little bit of a niche topic, and, you know, from time to time, Jeff is going to play the role of the Enterprise chef and step out. And so for tonight's picks, Jeff is going dark, right?
Yeah, I'm going to be in the galley cooking up some turkey meatloaf with Charlie X.
That is fantastic. I love that reference. Okay, well, Neelix has cleared the galley and told us that we are ready to sit down and start getting into the topic for tonight's episode.
Diagnostic cycle will be complete in 20 seconds.
All right, top five food moments in Star Trek history. And I know what you're thinking here. We're six episodes into the Trek Ranks podcast and we're already reaching on topics. Incorrect. Incorrect, right, Adam? I think this topic is going to surprise people, no doubt in my mind.
This is going to be next level insanity, nerd, just nerd fantasia, if you will.
There's way more depth on this topic than I think people think, and it's actually been, it's pretty revealing for, I think, both the characters and then, like, Trek as a whole when you kind of look at how many big food moments there are in the episode. So, all right, so as we get into the diagnostic cycle here, there's a lot of different ways you might define a food moment in Trek. So, Adam, without getting into, you know, what drove your prime directive on your Trek decisions, tell me about your obsession with food, because I know you have one.
I am obsessed with food. I eat it on a daily basis.
It provides sustenance.
It sustains me as I go about my daily business. I'm not a Borg. I don't regenerate, though we are going to engage in the regeneration cycle later on. So I do enjoy a meal every now and then. But no, it's great. And for whatever reason, when I was first starting to watch Star Trek, the specific kind of weird food moments that we're going to be talking about sort of popped out at me and just really amused me and stuck in my brain in a really serious way. And I think I've got some good picks. We've got a lot of varied moments that not only, like you said, get the character moments across, but also sort of exemplify what the shows are and what Star Trek is, not to be too grand philosophical about it.
Yeah, I don't think I would have ever kind of landed on this topic if I didn't know you and see the way that you kind of cleverly referenced Trek food on Twitter and in a lot of our interactions. So I'm definitely excited to see where you take this, and I was pleasantly surprised with how it made me look at a few things as I was going through trying to compile my list. And I'll say one of the biggest surprises was the things that didn't make my list. There's some moments that didn't make my list.
I feel like some moments are so iconic, there's like, yeah, what else can I say about it? It's there. It's that. But I feel like we're going to pull out some interesting moments, and there's always going to be a good reference to Trek food for any Twitter interaction. So if you need one, just hashtag Trek foods, food ranks, hashtag food ranks. And yeah, we're going to have some fun with it.
All right. Well, anyway, Captain Archer has indicated that the chef is done preparing our meal. So I think we're ready to sink our teeth into our prime directives for this episode.
I do not concur with your captain's decision.
She's following our prime directive.
Define prime directive.
Okay, Adam, so what was your prime directive behind how you made your choice? What was the driving criteria for you in narrowing your list down?
It had to amuse me in some way. I think that at its most base level, the moment had to amuse me or interest me with either the specificity of the food that's being discussed or eaten, or just the what, you know, like we're saying, what it reveals about the characters. So I think all of my moments do have a thing of levity to them, but as we get further down into each specific pick, you'll start to see there are different layers and flavors and emotional flavors that are going to be discussed in the parfait of this episode.
Oh, I love it. And I had a few funny ones too, and some more poignant ones. But I started by just making a list of, you know, the food moments that jumped out at me. And then, you know, it was extensive. I couldn't believe how many I had on my list.
I can believe it. I can believe it, because what people need to understand is that last Christmas, Jim and I watched 10 hours of Star Trek in a row.
That's right.
So it literally was like a long understanding of how the Trek ranks mind works. So I can very much believe that you could have at least 30 on your list if we had enough lead time into this episode.
That's probably about right. And I was surprised by it wasn't just like the emotional core of some of the episodes where my final picks landed on, but the characters and just how they interacted. So
think about how you as a listener to Trek Ranks podcast interact with food on a daily basis and with your friends, and how you enjoy it, and think about how that parlays into Star Trek, and I don't know. Maybe you'll spot some things in some episodes you didn't even know about.
That's what we hope happens here. All right. Before we introduce Third Ramadaclon to help us get through the order of things, just a quick reminder again on how we're going to discuss each pick tonight. As always, we'll reveal our moments and then the episode in which it appears, obviously. And then we're going to give our 5-word summary and a hashtag for our picks. The 5-word summary and a hashtag is a Trek Ranks trademark, which we think is a great way to quickly kind of communicate how you look at an episode. So, and then we'll just quickly, you know, jump into a few reasons why you chose those moments and, you know, what you think it says about Trek. Oh, and we're going to have a lot of secondary system choices.
Yes.
Because my list is too long to cut down. So that's not normal, but that's how deep this topic is.
I'm curious to see if there's going to be any overlap.
Yeah, well, duplicates is always a big question on Trek Ranks, and I got a feeling we're going to hit on a couple, maybe for sure on secondary systems, but maybe even in the regular.
Cool.
Okay, let's move into the order of things.
I am a Jem'Hadar. He is a Vorta. It is the order of things.
Okay, Adam. We're doing this. What's your number 5 pick?
Here we go. The order of things has been established. Yes. We've laid out a big old parcel of Ketracel White to share between the two of us. It's going to be that kind of podcast.
We're doing Trek Liquids later. That is going to be another podcast. I should actually mention that in the prime directive.
Hashtag Liquid Ranks.
We're only doing food, so Liquid Ranks.
My number 5 pick for food ranks on the Trek Ranks podcast is from the episode Silent Enemy of Enterprise. It is the pineapple cake. Yes, it is I'd say it's the B plot of the episode where Hoshi and Archer go about trying to figure out what Malcolm's favorite food is. And by the end, it is revealed it is pineapple, and they have baked him a pineapple cake, much to his surprise and enjoyment.
That is amazing. I am ashamed to say I forgot about this moment, and it wasn't on my long list.
Wow.
I know. There's so many.
Wow.
All right. What's your 5 words and a hashtag?
My 5. Okay. So this is kind of funny, actually, because I know other previous guests have struggled with this. This is the only one of my 5 words and a hashtags where it is just a 5-word hashtag.
Yes.
So the other ones I'll have both. But for this one, it is a 5-word hashtag, 5 words in a hashtag. And it is hashtag friendship is the sweetest frosting.
Oh.
So, yeah.
And that is a great moment at the end. By the way, it's an underrated episode. It's very really, underrated. Really good.
I think it is really good, too. And that's one of those episodes where I think about that more than the A-plot. I always think of Silent Enemy as, that's the cake episode.
Yeah.
And it is really nice. It is one of those character moments. And you definitely get a better perspective on Malcolm's character. And you get a better perspective on Hoshi and Archer, that they're willing to go to this lengths just to figure out what their friend's favorite food is, their colleague's favorite food is. And it definitely, if anyone's worked in a corporate or an office setting and you've had the office cake before, I think it's kind of a charming workplace trope that they've addressed, and they've done it in a really smart and fun, and it is that kind of nice emotional button to the episode.
Yeah, exactly. It's more than just a standard B plot. It actually adds to those characters moving forward, and that the final scene of that episode is really well done.
Really good. And the only thing that I could knock it on, the only slight demerit, is when they hold up the cake, or the component as they call it, when they're like, Hoshi, bring that component over. It's in like a case that cracks awesome. Me up. It's so funny. She's like, yeah, we got it. They hold up the cake, and you can see whoever the prop guy is, tisk, 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 they've pre-cut it a little bit, like where the M is on Malcolm. If you look closely, because it is HD, you know, they did, you know, transfer this to HD after 35mm, you can very clearly see that little cut, that they're like, cut here, Archer. Like, I think he knows where to cut the cake. It's a little bit upsetting to me that nobody smoothed that out. But
we'll look for that next time. We
look for it, and then forget about it quickly, because it is a very charming and heartwarming moment, and a big part of why I put that at number five.
Okay, so my number five it's actually a pretty well-known one, and it is Sisko's Jambalaya, and the episode is The Jem'Hadar.
Yes!
Which is the episode where he and Nog and Jake and Quark go on a little camping trip.
Anyone want some more?
Not me. Me neither, Commander. But it was very good. You know, I think I'm developing a taste for human food.
Quark.
Still say there's some dirt in the sauce. These bugs. Look at this. They get into everything. It's disgusting.
I thought the Ferengis liked eating bugs.
Only certain bugs. Ferengi bugs. Nog, get some more ointment for the back of my neck.
Yes, Uncle.
You know, first off, my five words in a hashtag are Quark lets loose on Federation, hashtag, then catches on fire. And I love this episode a lot. It's got amazing heart in the scenes between Jake and his dad and Jake and Nog. Super underrated. And the food moment of this is when Sisko's made jambalaya for everybody. And Quark is picking the bugs out of it, and he's complaining about it. And pretty much what he says, there's dirt in the sauce, and these bugs, look at this, they get into everything, it's disgusting. And Sisko's like, I thought the Ferengi liked bugs. And he has the best line, he's like, only certain bugs, Ferengi bugs. And I love that moment. But the meat of this is that it's really the first time, and there's like three or four times in Deep Space Nine where Quark goes on a little tirade against the Federation. And at the end of this, when after he catches his arm on fire and they're having an argument and Nog runs away, Quark says, you Federation types are all alike. You talk about tolerance and understanding, but you only practice it toward people who remind you of yourselves. And that is always this a real ouch moment, because there's a little bit of truth in that, in terms of how some of them pontificate in the way they act. So I love that moment. I love there's also a point when Jake is telling Nog about his dad's going to make jambalaya, and Nog's like, Jumbo what? So love that. I love that scene.
Oh, it's great. I think it's really interesting, as you were talking about and describing the scene, how Quark would have a really interesting perspective on the way different people eat and drink just based on the nature of his work. He sees everything. And Any time he gets to interact with Sisko, because they don't usually interact too much other than, busting each other's chops, as it were, having them together on the camping trip is amazing. And of course, Sisko's going to have to cook something on the trip. And
of course, it's going to be jambalaya.
He's a New Orleans guy. It's got to be the hometown flavor. And I would love a bowl of Sisko's homemade campfire jambalaya.
Ferengi bugs. Love that. All right. What's your number four pick?
My number four pick features probably my all-time favorite character in Star Trek.
Ooh.
It played by the incomparable Jeffrey Combs. We're talking about the episode Treachery, Faith, and the Great River from Deep Space Nine, where Weyoun eats pepperoni pizza with chopsticks.
Oh, my God. It's so great.
That was filling.
I would hope so. You sampled the replicator's entire menu.
I enjoyed the different textures.
You mean tastes, don't you?
Not at all. The Vorta's sense of taste is quite limited. About the only foods we really enjoy are kava nuts and ripple berries.
Ah.
This...
Oh man, I cannot. By the way, Treachery, Faith, and the Great River is getting dropped on every episode of Trek. It's amazing. This episode.
It's so good. This was one of my formative Trek food moments. If there is such a thing.
Yes.
Because anytime Jeffrey Combs would show up as Weyoun, like, my interest would just skyrocket. This is my favorite character. I think he's phenomenal, and it's just so interesting. The shot starts with him picking a pepperoni off a pizza with chopsticks, and he swallows it loudly and is like, that was filling. and Odo says, well, you're going to play the clip, so you're going to hear it. But he's like, it's a callback to an earlier moment where Weyoun reveals that he doesn't have a sense of aesthetics. He has weak eyesight but strong ears. The founders have genetically engineered them with the traits and senses that they deem important. And apparently taste wasn't one of them. But he says it didn't taste like anything, but the textures were interesting. So I just thought, like if this was a show where the suits in charge would be more like conscious of what was happening, they look at something like that and be like, cut this out. Like, what are you talking? Like, it serves no point other than like, it's just interesting and smart and like good world building, good subtle world building with great acting. So, and ever since then, I've wanted to eat a pepperoni with a pair of chopsticks. So
that's an outstanding, memorable, hilarious scene and fits your comedy, your Prime Directive perfectly. And I'm trying to think if did he just stop after the one pepperoni? I can't remember.
Yeah, it's just like a quick the camera like follows him up from the pizza, and like you can see he's like super full and like didn't really enjoy himself. Just by the way, that was filling.
That's classic.
He ate everything in the replicator. I love it. So my five words and a hashtag. Oh, yeah. It's all about the textures. Hashtag give me a slice with pepperoni and ripple berries.
Well, we're going to have pizza later because we're recording this together, as we said.
I'm going to get some chopsticks. Yes, please. Ripple berries on the side. So apparently, according to – this is a little – for you Vorta heads out there, this is a little bit of canon for you. To quote from the man directly, Weyoun, about the only foods we really enjoy are kava nuts and ripple berries.
Kava nuts, yes. Okay. My number four pick is another Deep Space Nine staple. And it is well known. It is the Jumja stick.
Yes.
And the episode is Image in the Sand. And this is also a little bit of a two for one. There's going to be another food reference in this one, too. But all right. Well, the Jumja stick made a bunch of appearances throughout Deep Space Nine. There was like eight total. And the last one is an Image in the Sand. And it's Senator Kreatak when she's buying a Jumja stick. And I love this scene because Kira shows up. And her first thing is like, this is a big scene in terms of like where this season 7's going. Kira shows up and says, I never thought I'd see a Romulan eating a Jumja stick here on the promenade. And Kreatak's like, yeah, I
Oh, and then Kira says, I don't really like them because they're super sweet. She's like, oh, you should try an Osol Twist, which is a Romulan, and it's super tart. But I like the interaction of this scene because they're just having this nice, friendly get-together, and then Senator Kretak's like, oh, and, you know, hey, by the way, can we put a hospital on the moon, your number four moon there? Just to help cover people. Okay, thanks, bye. Is that kind of thing. And next thing you know, of course, they're moving troops onto this hospital all over a Jumja stick in the middle of the Deep Space Nine promenade. So I love that scene. I love that moment. And I love that Jumja sticks really are throughout Deep Space Nine. I mean, I know you got to be a Jumja stick guy.
I'm a huge Jumja stick guy. If you guys go to my Twitter and like search for Jumja stick, you will notice I have tweeted at least once or twice that one of my dream STLV cosplays is to be a Jumja stick and have someone push me around all day or just like actually walk. I don't know, but I like the idea of being an inanimate object. Like I feel like I like to be a self-stealing stemple and not move, just have someone like push you around and be a stemple. Like,
dude,
I don't know.
You could totally be a Jumja stick.
I'd be a great Jumja stick, right? So, I mean, my earliest Nog memories were of him like eating a Jumja stick like an obnoxious little kid, and I was like, I just relate with this guy. Like, I know this guy, so I'm a big Jumja stick fan. That's an epic pick, and I love that the Romulans, what is it called, an Osso Twist?
Yeah, an Osol Twist.
Osol Twist.
Very tart, according to Senator Kretak. Who knows?
I would probably like that just as much. I would like, you know how they have the classic soft serve vanilla and chocolate swirl? I would love an Osol Twist with a Jumja stick twisted into it.
Oh, that sounds really good. All right, let's move on to the round three. Mr. Drozen, what's your number three pick?
My number three pick takes us over to the Delta Quadrant for the first time today, or tonight, depending on when you're listening. We're going back to the very first episode. We're going to Caretaker for a moment I very fondly refer to as the Tom Paris tomato soup freak out.
Oh my god, I love this tomato soup. This is so great.
This is such an insane way to introduce one of the main characters of your show.
Yeah.
We've seen him already in prison, and he's kind of a jerk a little bit. Like, he's like snubbing his nose at the idea of a way to get out of prison, which, to be fair, like, you're outdoors in a New Zealand park. It was a pretty chill prison, so I don't blame him. But he's on the ship, everyone's getting settled into this, and he goes up to the replicator and he asks for tomato soup. The computer does not necessarily default to what Tom Paris refers to as plain old tomato soup, because as he realizes, there are 14 different varieties. Now, if you recall, the mess hall is full at the time, featuring all people who know Tom Paris as a Maquis and as a traitor and as a traitor to the Starfleet because his dad is an admiral. And he proceeds to make a huge scene screaming at the replicator, no, I just want plain old tomato soup. And, like, everyone notices he makes such a scene and...
Tomato soup.
There are 14 varieties of tomato soup available from this replicator, with rice, with vegetables, bowling in style, with pasta, with...
Plain.
Specify hot or chilled.
Hot. Hot, plain tomato soup.
I think it's hysterical. I love it.
I love that. What's your five words and a hashtag?
Five words and a hashtag, Tom Paris, Starfleet Soup Diva. Hashtag, I'll take mine Bolian style.
Oh, man.
The computer didn't rattle off the full 14 here, but Bolian style was among them, as well as with noodles. So if it was me, I would have, instead of freaking out, I would have been like, can I get mine Bolian style with noodles?
Now, is that the scene, too, where they end up, where Kim ends up saying that nobody chooses my friends?
That's exactly what it is, because he sits down or everyone else stands up, and he's like, you don't want to talk to this guy. So, yeah, that's a great Harry Kim moment. It's kind of a great Tom Paris moment in a backwards way. So I'll take mine bullion style with noodles and a grilled cheese to dip it in.
It is a really great way to define his character early
on, too. The early Tom Paris. It's great. I love that. The Tom Paris tomato soup freakout.
All right. Well, we don't have any duplicates yet, but in this round, we do have another soup, because my number three pick is Seska's mushroom soup from a few episodes later in State of Flux.
Wow.
Where she has gone on the lam to steal some mushroom soup from Neelix's kitchen.
Wow.
My five words in the hashtag are, mushrooms are better than Leola root. Hashtag I heart Seska, because I do. I love Seska. She's one of my favorite characters. And in that brief scene, you know, again, it starts with Seska. Well, actually, the episode starts with Seska picking mushrooms when she's working a deal with the Kazon to turn on Voyager. And it ends with her bringing a mushroom soup bowl to Chakotay to really to try and seduce him. And again, this is another defining moment where this interaction, where she's kind of explaining to him how he does it, and he's taking him a little bit, but he picks up on the fact that they've run this ruse to break into the kitchen, make mushroom soup, and enjoy it. And it's really a defining moment for her amazing story arc that she did that. I just love how she's written. I love her entire arc. And there's real emotion in that scene, especially when Chakotay, you can tell he connects with her, but he's just, when he realizes she's stole, he's like, 2 days of food rations, and I'm docking mine too, because he's such a stickler. Anyway, love that. And I love when Neelix chimes in at the very end and says, he's like, I want to report a robbery. And he's like, I'm taking care of it. He's like, it was Seska, wasn't it? Love that. Love Neelix.
You looted the food reserves?
Well, if he's not going to give us a decent meal.
I can't believe you did this.
Well, it's not like we're hiding anything. I did bring soup straight to the first officer, didn't I?
Thanks for including me in a criminal conspiracy. Does he know about this yet?
Well, the morale crisis ended a few minutes ago, so I'd say...
Neelix to Chakotay.
That he probably does.
Go ahead, Neelix.
I'd like to report a crime. Someone has broken into my kitchen and stolen food, taken food out of the mouths of their crewmates.
I know.
It was that Seska, wasn't it?
I promise you everyone involved will be disciplined.
If you'd like my recommendations for punishment, I...
Thank you, I'll handle that. Chakotay out.
Wow. I've said wow 3 times since you've dropped this pick. I mean, what a pick, bro. What an episode. I love this episode. I love how deep of a cut it is. I love Seska, too. I love in Caretaker, which we just referenced, when she goes up to Chakotay, she's like, if you want a mutiny, we're all behind you. So I just, like, ever since she said that, I'm like, oh, she's a firecracker. She's a wild card. So great pick. I'm a big mushroom guy. I love it on my pizza. I love it on a hamburger. Here's a little full disclosure. I work at Paramount Pictures, the home of Star Trek, one of the homes of Star Trek now, but the original home of Star Trek, right across from the Hart Building, where all of these episodes we've just been discussing were written, is the executive dining room, and they do a phenomenal mushroom soup, guys.
Of course.
I didn't think of it until now, but headcanon, it's Seska's recipe that they're serving at Paramount.
Of course it is. I love round 3, tomato soup and mushroom soup back to back. That is the awesomeness of Trek Ranks.
The soup round.
This is the soup round.
You can't beat that.
All right, we don't have any duplicates yet, but there's so many big moments. And here we go, round 2. What is your number 2 choice, Adam?
Round 2, I'm taking us back to Deep Space Nine, but not in the way you'd expect, because it's a TNG episode. We're talking Birthright, guys. It is Pasta al Fiorella, courtesy of Geordi.
Oh my gosh.
We're talking, you want to talk about a deep cut. This is one of my favorites. I love this episode just because, you know, the whole intro is the TNG characters on Deep Space Nine, which is just so much fun. And Geordi and Worf as a pair is always great. And Geordi is so excited to introduce Worf to one of his favorite dishes, Pasta al Fiorella. And much to Geordi's chagrin, it does not taste the way he remembers it, but Worf loves it. And his reaction, it's such a great, people love to diss on TNG as being kind of like stuffy and not that funny, and the humor sometimes feels forced, and there are definitely moments where the humor feels forced, but this is such a good piece of acting from both of them, just good physical comedy. Geordi's so disgusted, Worf is inhaling it. It's like, Worf, that tastes like liquid polymer. Worf stops him, looks up, delicious. Like, his mouth is kind of full. Like, oh.
What is this?
It's pasta al Fiorella.
It's one of my favorites. Don't worry, you're gonna love it. I'll have to talk to Chief O'Brien about these replicators.
Mm-hmm.
Worf, I don't see how you can eat that stuff. It tastes like liquid polymer.
Delicious.
You know, I think I'm gonna try that kiosk on the other side of the promenade. It looked like they had some real food. Mm-hmm.
It's so funny to me, and I
that's a hilarious scene. And we get to see Deep Space Nine in HD, which is a spectacular bonus.
Yes, absolutely.
So I would have never remembered that up what is it? Pasta?
Pasta al fiorello.
I don't even know what that is.
I don't know. I've never had it either. We're going to have to.
Is that a real thing? Or is
I don't know. If you have had this and you love it, hit us up next time we do one of our.
Maybe that's an alien dish? I don't know.
Here's what the deal is, guys. If it's real and it's good and it's not complicated, I am making some for STLV.
Love it. I love it.
So five words and a hashtag next generation hits the promenade, hashtag liquid polymer, and a glass of prune juice.
Perfect. All right. All right. My number two is another Deep Space Nine choice, but this one's getting dark.
Okay.
This one's going dark. Nothing funny about this one. It is the Taspar egg from Chain of Command. When Gol Madred is telling his little story to Captain Picard, first he brings out a Taspar egg to give a. It's basically, for me, this scene, it's more than. The torture of, you know, there's not four lights. It's this Taspar egg story that sells this whole torture part of Chain of Command too. So it's when it's basically he brings out the egg and you think it's boiled and Picard opens it and it's alive, but he just downs it and eats it. And then, you know, Picard gives this great speech about he just turns the table on him and gives this speech about how torture is not about never been reliable, and then just hammers on when I look at you now, I won't see a powerful Cardassian. I'll see a small boy weeping because he was powerless to protect himself. After Gol Madred tells the story about how he had a Taspar egg and these bullies took it from him. Love that scene. Super powerful moment. Obviously one of the big moments in TNG in terms of Chain of Command. So, and then it ends with, he calls him Picard instead of whatever he was calling him before that. So used his name.
Yeah.
And Picard says, I find you a pitiable man. Great scene. Great real emotion. So not to bring the show to a screeching halt, but super emotional.
Wow. Yeah. Great pick. That's an episode I rewatch a ton. And I know rewatchability is the number one criteria on Trek ranks. It is because it is so heavy and dark. But when I think of Chain of Command, I, of course, think of the Delta shift where they add a fourth shift to the rotation with Jellico.
Get it done.
Yeah, that's right. She gets her uniform. Troy gets the uniform, which is epic. Everyone loves that. And I just love the image of Picard, Worf, and Crusher skulking around the caverns in like all black with like the caps on and like they're like incognito. I think that's just the best. So
super secret agent Federation.
Exactly. Yeah, they look so funny. So great deep cut. Again, not something I would have picked. So
yeah, when Gol Madred tells that story about the story was that he finds a bunch of eggs and he feels like they're going to sustain him for a couple of weeks and then some bullies show up and steal him and that's all about what torture is, right? So anyway, dark moment. What was my five words in a hashtag were one live boiled Taspar egg, hashtag down the hatch for Picard. So, all right, we are through four rounds. We are to our final picks, and then we're going to get into some secondary system selections. But what is your number one pick, Mr. Drozen?
You guys, I'm very pleased and surprised but not surprised to say that we did not, in fact, replicate any of our picks on the replicator. We have completely distinct top five lists of
so
Trek
far.
Foods on Trek ranks. So my number one pick, we're going back to Delta Quadrant for the episode Ashes to Ashes on Voyager. It is my number one Trek food moment. Jim's giggling because he knows what it is.
I do.
It is the Jebelian berry salad.
Of course.
I have been obsessed with the Jebelian berry salad since I saw this episode for the first time. It looks absolutely disgusting.
Delicious.
Delicious. If you haven't seen Ashes to Ashes in a while, it's where Ensign Lindsay Ballard who was lost on an away mission several years ago or months ago. And I don't exactly remember the time frame on the Voyager expedition they were on, but she comes back reincarnated as an alien, where this alien species abducts dead bodies and reincarnates them. That's how they reproduce. And she was apparently best friends with Harry Kim and maybe a little bit romantic, even though we've never seen her before or them together or heard any reference. We'll leave it at that.
They totally banged, but go ahead.
Right. Okay. So I'll let them go. I'll let them go. Did they, okay, quick side note. Did they bang post-alien?
Oh, good question. No, I meant before, but yeah, they
probably did.
Yeah, they probably did. Okay, cool. Anyway,
good for you.
Back to food ranks.
So the thing she was most looking forward to eating, they make a big deal out of it when they get back to the mess hall, is the Jebelian berry salad. And Neelix brings it out and he's so happy because it makes him so happy to make people's favorite foods, as we all well know. And it looks, I don't even know how to describe it. Pull it up on Memory Alpha and it's like a tray of berries and there's like seaweed and like, oysters. It looks insane. It looks absolutely psychotic, but he brings it out to this poor girl who's died and been reincarnated as an alien, and she looks so excited, and Harry is so excited to watch her eat it, and she's like so disappointed. It tastes like metal, as she says, and it goes from being like really amusing to me to like being really sad.
Here we are. One Jebelian berry salad.
I have been looking forward to this for a very long time.
It was number 6 on her list.
There isn't much variety in the Kobali diet. We ate the same gray paste for 3 years. It doesn't taste the way I remember it.
What's wrong? Too sweet?
No offense, but it's got sort of a metallic flavor.
Seems fine to me.
Guess my taste buds are still Kobali.
I feel like that's kind of a recurring theme on a couple of these things, is how food can be disappointing or it can never live up to your memory. Like Jordy's pasta al fiorello. I kind of buried the lead with that one, why I like it. And same thing with Wayun eating the food.
I was about to say, tomato soup's Tom a little Perry. Bit of a struggle for him. To
that's
get
the thing. And I think Odo, as the observer to Wayun eating the food, can really appreciate it, having been turned into a person and then back into a changeling, how disappointing it can be to be watch someone else really enjoy a meal or to eat something and have it not be as good as you remember it. So I don't know. I find all these moments as a whole very revealing and kind of interesting to watch the way people react to having their favorite foods and not having it live up to their memory.
All right. Well, that's fascinating. Now I'm like, it's really deep.
Literally
your last three picks. I mean, pineapple upside down cake was a little bit sad too, because every time they called somebody to ask Reed about what his favorite, they're like, yeah, I don't know anything about the guy.
Yeah.
Even his parents.
Especially
like,
his parents.
Yeah, we don't really know.
And his mom's like, is he okay? And like his dad's like, ugh, hang up.
All right.
So there are some weirdly sad, heavy moments on my Trek Foods, Trek Ranks podcast, I think they're all awesome and they're really fun. And we'll get into them more, you know, as we wrap it up. But my 5 words and a hashtag, hey, does this taste metallic? Hashtag, everything tastes like metal with an alien tongue.
Oh, poor Lindsay Ballard. Poor Lindsay Ballard. All right, my number one pick also has a little bit of a sad note. So, and this is another one that has been seen throughout Trek. And this is the only one that jumped out at me right away as my number one, which was going to be Hasperat.
Oh, yes.
The awesome, I don't want to say it yet because it's my 5 words and a hashtag, but it's from Preemptive Strike, the TNG episode where Ro turns on the Enterprise crew.
The penultimate episode.
Exactly.
The second to last.
Is it third to last or second?
I thought that was the...
Yeah, no, I think you're right.
It's the one right before All Good Things. Yeah.
So it is, my 5 words and a hashtag is a salty, spicy burrito wrap, hashtag Hasperat or Picard, because Ensign Ro betrays the entire crew, basically over her friendship with one of the Maquis members and their Hasperat. So first of all, I want to eat a salty, spicy burrito wrap because that just sounds delicious. And you know, listen, it was mentioned a ton, and I mean, it was every, I mean, so many episodes from.
It's like the Bajoran food.
Yeah, right. I mean, there's like, I mean, Gamor mentioned it in Second Skin, where it's only good when it's warm, and Zial once made a Hasparat souffle. And full disclosure, every time I went to Star Trek The Experience in Vegas, I took singular joy ordering Hasparat at the restaurant.
Quick side note, could you please describe what the Star Trek The Experience Hasparat was actually?
It was basically just like a grit, like a chicken wrap.
Okay.
Like, with maybe some spice in it and like a green
like
wrap.
A spinach.
Yeah, like a spinach wrap. Yes, exactly.
That's so funny.
But I chose Preemptive Strike for this moment because really the whole episode hinged on this scene between Ro and this Maquis guy, Macias, the older guy. And they connected on like a super deeply personal level where Ro was infiltrating their cell, and she said she'd make some Hasparat for Macias someday because she had her father's like recipe or something. And then, you know, the connection between her and his death is really the catalyst for her to eventually just betray everybody. And I love the ending of Preemptive Strike where Picard just, you know, it's just the all-time death stare from hell from Picard when he realized she's betrayed her, and then they're giving the report and they're walking out of the ready room and he's just like not saying a word. So, yeah, deep, heavy moments. So we got some fun moments and we had some deep, heavy moments here.
Totally.
All right, let's get into some secondary systems.
Hold on. 5 words and a hashtag.
Oh, yeah, my 5 words and a hashtag. No, I did it at the beginning.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, salty, spicy burrito wrap, hashtag Hasparat. Or Picard.
That's right. No, that's right. I'm sorry. I forgot.
And she chose Hasparat.
That's right. And I definitely love this choice. I always love when they bring it up again because it's that internal continuity that's so fun. And
yeah.
I love spicy food, so I always want a Hasparat too. And I like that some people call it Hasparat. No one can agree. It's like that kind of Kirk kind of way of Robot and Lieutenant Kyle. And so it's like everyone has their own way to make it and pronounce it. Everyone's got their own recipe. And yeah, we didn't duplicate on any of these.
I can't believe it. I can't believe we didn't duplicate.
We picked
on
some
any of
weirdo
those.
Picks in our credit. There are
a few, but hey, deep cuts is what Trek
that's,
ranks.
That's what we're
is
all about.
All about deep cuts. All right, secondary systems. What do you got? You got one?
Yes.
Still one out there.
I love when in the episode Homefront where they go to, because we're both fans of Sisko cooking, and as you do, and you got to go back to the original Sisko. And go to Sisko's restaurant in New Orleans. And I love in Homefront when Nog beams over. He's like, Nog, I didn't know you like Creole food. He's like, no, I love tube grubs.
Tube grubs.
And it's the only place that can get live tube grubs.
That is on my secondaries. That was one of my last cuts. Was that scene. And I love the scene because there's that scene, but then there's later when he invites him and they're talking about Red Squad.
Yes.
And he's like, you are under the impression I am asking you. I am giving you a direct order. Give me some Red Squad names.
Red Squad.
That is awesome.
Now, as
Joseph Sisko's tube grubs.
Joseph Sisko's tube grubs at Sisko's. If you come to the Paramount lot, you can see where Sisko's is. Yes. You can see that street. It is awesome. Now, as our Enterprise expert here, do you remember – I don't remember the name of the episode offhand, but it's the episode that ends where T'Pol finally eats the pecan pie.
Is that –
Hold on. We got to jump in here. If you want to jump in.
Yes, Adam. We have another participant, Adam Hunault, at Adam Hunault on Twitter. Breaking the Ice is where she eats the pecan pie?
She eats the pecan pie and Breaking the Ice?
No, I'm trying to remember.
I thought it was later in the series, where there were more relationships.
Was it the end of Carbon Creek? It
might be that.
I can't remember. All right.
Yell at us on Twitter.
We're going to figure this out.
Okay. Do you have another secondary system?
I've got one. It's another sad one. It's Parthas a la Yuta from The Vengeance Factor.
Wow.
When Riker... I mean, the only reason I'm really mentioning it is because I love the way Riker says, Parthas a la Yuta, which is some kind of greasy, leafy vegetable on Akmar 3. And, she's an assassin. She's trying to kill people. But Riker loves his Parthas a la Yuta.
One of my favorite characters is BLT herself, B'Elanna Torres. Her nickname is a food reference, which is great. And then Harry Kim jokingly refers to Tom Paris as turkey platter afterwards, which is great. But I've got two Bolana Torres food moments that are on my short list here in secondary systems.
BLT was enough for me.
I guess it's three technically. But I love in Workforce where she is the first of the brainwashed crew members to come back, and Neelix tries to jog her memory by making her banana pancakes, her favorite food.
Yes, a great food moment.
And Neelix tells her how food's like a time machine, and it's so nice. And she doesn't remember, but it is nice that he cooked her favorite food like Neelix loves to do.
That's so awesome.
So she loves banana pancakes, yeah.
And I can't believe this one wasn't on your list, actually, now that I'm thinking about it. Yeah. It was on my short list. This is another one. It was from Carpenter Street, where they're ordering fast food.
He orders the triple burger.
You can make that a triple for only 40 cents extra.
That's right.
You can make that a combo for only 40 cents extra.
I do love
that. The best part of that is when DePaul's is, does the Fiesta salad contain any animal products? And they're like, no, but you can add bacon. She's like, no. I don't want anything.
I love that. I love Carpenter Street. Again, come take the tour at Paramount. You can see where Leland Orser's character's apartment is. He lives on Carpenter Street.
All right, what else you got?
I got another BLT moment where Bolana replicates the TV for Tom to watch cartoons on, and he's eating popcorn while she's asleep on the couch. Yes. A classic moment. I'm a big shipper. I ship them, as they say.
Yeah, and they deserve it. Of course, some of the bigger ones, too. I had Riker in 10 Forward when he's sampling all the Klingon food.
That's a classic. Yeah,
classic moment. Oh, wanted to include it, but went with a few deeper cuts.
That is great because there's so many things on the table. You get Pulaski's and Picard's reaction. Where he's like, I know about this. This is just something you do. I love that. I got a couple Troy moments. When Troy's a cake, obviously.
Oh, of course.
She's a cellular peptide cake with mint frosting, classic moment.
Yep.
A little bit more of a deep cut, and it's kind of – I love this too because kind of like how the pineapple cake was a B story, Troy's B story in the episode Liaisons with the diplomat eating the whole time.
Yep.
And it's so funny. She introduces him to the concept of dessert with her favorite, the Katerian chocolate puff. As you do. And she's just so full by the end of it. I love it. I love that episode. I love that whole plot. It's so great.
That's a classic. How about, and this episode is not very good, but there's an unbelievable, the Betazoid food ritual from The Haven, where Mr. Holmes in the back dinging the dong every time Loxana puts food in her mouth. And they're having this big argument. The point of that whole scene is when Data's just kind of hovering. And Picard says, Data, you're hovering. And at the end, please continue with the petty bickering. Love that. Love that scene.
So good. So good. The only other thing I had on my short list was another Neelix moment. Get this cheese to sick bay.
Oh, yeah, of course.
When he's trying, again, he's trying to make someone's favorite food. He's trying to make mac and cheese, or he's trying to make cheese for the pizza or whatever it was. And it's the cheese that infects the Enterprise – not the Enterprise, excuse me. You can yell at me at STLV for saying that. It infects the Voyager because it has the bile neural gel pack networking, and that's an insane thing that let's make our computer faster but also susceptible to an infection. So I'm surprised it didn't get infected more.
Of course.
Remember they were like, we only have like 6 bioneural backup gel packs.
Hey, they found a supply of deuterium somewhere.
They figured it out.
No nitpicking on Trek ranks. All right, I got 4 more real quick ones I'm going to rattle off so that no one can send us a tweet and say, how come you forgot Spock throwing the Plomeek soup at Chapel. We've got the Italian food date from Star Trek IV, which of course
legendary.
Is legendary.
Pizza Michelob. Right.
We've got one is the M113 creature. I mean, she's literally sucking the salt out of people to eat and survive. So got to mention that. And my last one, and it's notable because it's the only Gene Roddenberry Trek role where he was the voice role of the chef in Charlie X.
Captain Kirk from Ship's Galley.
Kirk here.
Sir, I put meatloaf in the ovens. There's turkeys in there now. Real turkeys.
Chief, have you...
Love that moment, Gene Roddenberry. Okay, that conversation was deep, like buried Leola root deep. And now we need to regroup.
Call up Trek Corps because we just dug to the core of the earth. We went so deep.
so deep that we need to step into the regeneration cycle.
Computer, activate regeneration cycle. Alcoves beta and gamma.
All right, quick recap here. Adam, do you have your five picks up on your list, or do you want me to rattle them off?
I do have them up.
Okay.
Number five, pineapple cake for Malcolm's birthday in Silent Enemy Enterprise. Number four, eating pepperoni pizza with chopsticks, Wayun and Odo, Treachery, Fate, The Great River, Deep Space Nine. Number three, Tom Paris, tomato soup freakout from the pilot episode Caretaker of Voyager. Number two, pasta fiorella, or is it liquid polymer? Birthright from TNG on the promenade. And my number one Trek food rank, Trek rank's favorite moment is the Jabellian berry salad from Ashes to Ashes in Star Trek Voyager.
A spectacular list. All right, I'm going to rattle off mine real quick, then I'm going to reveal some stats here. So my number five was Sisko's jambalaya from the Jem'Hadar. We have a Jumja stick from Image in the Sand. We have Seska's mushroom soup from State of Flux, number three. My number two was the Taspar egg from Chain of Command that Picard woofed down. And my number one is Bajoran Hasperot from Preemptive Strike. All right, so here we go. We've got, this is actually pretty well spread out. Three from TNG, three from DS9, three from Voyager, and one Enterprise. So there was no TOS pick. That's surprising. And here's a breakdown of categories. So we have six human foods, two Bajoran, one Cardassian, and whatever Lindsay Ballard is, whatever her race was. I can't remember.
Does Jabellian berry salad come from Jabellia? Are there the Jabellians out there? If you're Jabellian,
please contact us.
I want to speak with you.
All right. And the last statistical breakdown, five dinner items, two soups, two desserts, and we're going to go ahead and call the Taspar egg breakfast. So,
Haspar's breakfast?
Hashtag Taspar egg breakfast.
Oh, Haspar egg, yeah.
All right, after all that, we still aren't quite done yet because our ship has once again flown directly into a temporal causality loop. So before we can depart, it's time to hear from you.
Enterprise has been caught up in a temporal causality loop, and I suspect that something similar may have happened to you.
So it's time again for our weekly temporal causality loop when we flash back to our previous episode with some feedback from listeners just like you. Keep sending those listen. We love them on Twitter and on our voicemail. So once again, we had a ton of amazing feedback on the last episode, which was all about creating a five-episode marathon for a Star Trek newcomer. And the thing that I think impressed me most in all this feedback was the different way that people were putting their prime directives together to come up with their lists. So with that in mind, the list that stood out to me most was one actually from our previous guest host on the Trek Ranks podcast, nice. Mr. Miranda Class himself, Carlos all Miranda, right. Who's on Twitter at Double Mac with two C's. For his list, he wanted to introduce a newcomer to kind of He wanted to introduce two key Star Trek story arcs, the Kirk-Spock relationship and Picard's relationship with the Borg.
I love that.
I know. It's really smart. It's kind of a brilliant way to hook someone in. So
would never have thought of that, man.
Yeah, it was pretty cerebral when he said it, and I looked at the list, which I'll go through now. It was pretty smart. So he starts with Amok Time.
Perfect.
Which obviously huge Kirk-Spock relationship.
Yep.
And then carry straight into the Wrath of Khan, which was on your list, right?
Yep.
Yeah, of course. It was your number one. So obviously with those first two picks, you connect those. And then for the last three, he had Q-Who.
One of my
picks. Again, going straight into Best of Both Worlds. And I love two-part episode picks because you get twice the Star Trek for one pick.
Yeah, because story arcs count, people. Don't forget.
Exactly. And then he finishes with Star Trek First Contact.
Wow.
And so you get this really good feel for Kirk and Spock's relationship and then nice. Picard and the Borg, you know?
Yeah. First Contact was amongst my possible picks, my secondary picks for my list. I love that movie. I love Carlos's approach, man. I love that how different all these approaches are. I mean, all of us had different approaches on the episode that we did, and people on Twitter just coming up with their own prime directives, and they all make sense.
Yeah, it was really smart, and not just because he cleverly compiled 8 hours of Trek into one five selection
list. So that's for me, I love that.
I think that's another Trek ranks right there. Yeah. Pack the most hours of Trek into your 5-episode list.
Ooh, I like that. Could be a future episode. Mm-hmm. All right. So a list that great is definitely more than enough to clear us from this temporal causality loop. So again, we just want to thank everyone for sending in all the amazing responses for these first few episodes. Keep the list coming, whether it's this episode or one of our past episodes, comfort foods or prime directive choices, just keep them coming. We also want to hear from you. So if you've got your top 5 food moments in Star Trek history, give us a call and tell us your list. Call us at the Tricorder Transmissions at 609-512-5527. That's 609-512-LLAP. So hopefully we'll hear from you. You can be featured on next week's episode of the Trek Ranks. So,
yeah.
And speaking of the next week's episode of Trek Ranks, for our latest topic, we're going to do another little bit of a deep cut episode. We are going to be ranking our top 5 one-off villains.
Oh,
yes. I love it. Another fun topic. I think it's going to take some serious exploration to finalize a list here. And so for one-off villain, we're defining that by saying it's anybody who appeared in one episode or like a tight 2-parter or 3-part episode. So I always like to give an example. So Minister Jero from the Circle trilogy in DS9 is definitely eligible. He was in 3 episodes, but it's, you know, 1 3-parter. Mm-hmm. But Moriarty from TNG is not eligible because he was in 2 episodes that were not connected in terms of his appearance. So we'll be closely monitoring those submissions in terms of the definition.
It's too easy. I got my number 1 right now. I could tell you.
It's not easy.
It's easy. I got my number 1.
here's what we won't be defining. Here's what we won't be defining. Right. What is a villain?
Oh.
Yeah, that's right.
One is a difficult twist.
Is another person's villain. Who knows?
Man.
So you could pick anybody and make your case that he's a villain or she's a villain or it's a villain. Who knows?
This makes me want to hop in my Krenim time ship and jump ahead to the next episode.
So, Adam, I was going to ask you, what's the first one-off villain that pops into your head?
There was that guy. It was
sounds like it might be Anorak.
Yeah, it was Anorak, exactly. A year of hell. Time's up, baby.
Nice. All right, that is awesome. All right, then, for that topic, we're going to be joined by Mr. Josh Duffy, yes, who you can get to know on Twitter at JM_Duffy. He's a great guy, someone we know previously from Star Trek Las Vegas. We're really looking forward to having him on the show, Jeff.
Yes, we are. And he's been on shore leave, by the way. He's been on a Tricorder show before, so he's awesome. Familiar with the network. Always good to have Josh back. He's one of our Trek family. Awesome pick.
Love having the friends of the show on.
Absolutely.
All right, so before we wrap it up here, a huge thanks to the amazing Trek food connoisseur, Mr. Adam Drozen. Adam, any final food tips for us before we depart?
Listen, guys, just want to make sure you guys are staying well fed out there. Make sure to keep your replicators clean. You do not want a replicator issue like what happened in early Deep Space Nine. Everyone's getting aphasia virus like in the episode Babel. No, not in my Replimat. No, no, thank you. It's been an absolutely good reference, right? Another good deep cut.
You did not disappoint. You did not disappoint with one final food reference. I love it.
Guys, it's been an absolute pleasure. When Jim first messaged me about doing an episode, he phrased it as, you know, we could do any sorts of things like Trek food, or if you have any other ideas. And I was like, no, that's it. That's the only idea. So we made it happen.
That is perfect. All right. Well, before we go, I've got one final Trek food ranks note for you, Adam. So before we go, and, you know, as Kes once said to her soon-to-be former Voyager crewmates, it is my gift to you. And that gift is that according to the Enterprise computer, Darmok is not only the name of a 7th Dynasty emperor on Conda 4, and it's not only a mytho-historical hunter on Chantil 3, and not just a colony on Melindi 7, but also a frozen dessert on Tasna 5. So when we do our top 5 dessert moments, Darmok is on the table, sir.
Nice.
Unbelievable. Well, I can't wait to have a frozen Darmok with y'all in Vegas not too long from now. Everyone, make sure to listen to Shore Leave for all the tips, tricks, and chicken soup for the soul of your convention heart. Yeah. The soul of your heart.
And any soup references now. The round three of all Trek ranks is now known as the soup rounds.
Yeah, exactly.
Nice.
All right. That's awesome. So that rounds out episode 6 of the Trek Ranks podcast. And as always, I just want to close by saying I'm looking forward to standing with you again here in this place where I belong.
Searching. Darmok is the name of a 7th Dynasty emperor on Khanda 4. A mytho-historical hunter on Chantil 3. A colony on Melindi 7. A frozen dessert on Tasna 5.
Stop search. Computer, how many entries are there for Darmok?
47.
Hi there. Thanks again for listening. If you're cruising the galaxy looking for even more Trek talk, why not visit our good friends Bill and Dan over at TrekGeeks.com? They've got a great podcast that covers a wide range of Star Trek topics, so you're sure to find something you'll love. And if you're in the mood for some awesome tunes, then you really need to head over to 5YearMission.net. The guys are writing a song for every episode of the original series, and each one is absolutely brilliant. So that's TrekGeeks.com and 5YearMission.net. Check them out today.